Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and play hide and seek in a fursuit. I am one of your hosts, Kata MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
As always, you're joined by your Cullen commentator who knows very little about what's going to happen today, Cole Browning. And we also have a special guest tonight.
His father.
Excellent. If only you had a Darth Vader mask, it'd be perfect. next time.
Now, good to see you, Caden.
Yeah, good to see you, bud.
Good to see you. Well, I'm glad we've not... It's been a minute since we've all been in person together, but at least now we can have a wonderful, heartwarming conversation about cryptids. As we head into the spooky season, we can talk about the spookiest thing of all, which is that wonderful set of creatures that the government wants to furiously deny.
Some of my favorites.
Yes. You've got the perfect t-shirt of the International Cryptozoology Museum on. Perfect regalia.
Yeah, fun little place. You know, it's you have some castings of, you know, Bigfoot droppings and other shit, but, you know, quirky little place. Not a destination. Don't go up there just for that museum, but if you're in Portland, Maine, it's fun.
If you happen to be passing through, of course.
Absolutely.
Well, before we jump into the conversation at large, we might as well go ahead and get an idea of what we mean when we say cryptid. So when I say that wonderful word, what pops into y'all's heads when, what is a cryptid to you?
Folklore.
I honestly think of aliens that people don't think are aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dive in deeper. Tell us more.
Graduated college. No, I just like, it's old folk tales, you know, just things that just kind of creep you out, to me anyway, you know, things of sightings that have happened and might have happened in your area, like even here, you know, we've got the Florida skunk ape, you know, which is basically just Bigfoot, but there's, I've talked to people who have claimed to have relatives that have seen these fuckers out on, like, Eglin Reservation, right? Now, probably some bullshit to that, and might have been some meth involved, but I don't know.
Well, with that attitude, we'll never discover the Florida Skunk Man.
But no, that's just what I think of. I mean, just things when I was growing up, you know, just tales you heard of different creatures, and you know, my parents always supported the spooky season, so I loved it. My sister was a freak, and she tortured me, so no doubt I grew up liking horror movies.
I can attest that Halloween is the main season in my family.
Yes.
Christmas exists, but nowhere near as much effort is put into it.
I just want to turn it into a Halloween tree. I'm just not even worried about Christmas.
Yeah, if we had a Halloween tree, it would be nice, but...
I bet I could talk your mother into it. I bet.
But yeah, cryptids are definitely just kind of that, weird Halloween legends that may be real. And then you just kind of go down that rabbit hole of, please say monsters are real. That makes Halloween 100% better.
Yep.
Yeah, they kind of have this like social nature that it's not like when you talk about a cyclops or a dragon when it's more agreed upon that they're just fakes and funny stories. It's more along the lines that there are people that actually want to believe in this stuff and actually go out looking for real evidence.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, look at the hysteria that it brought up to the New Jersey area with the Leeds Devil or the Jersey Devil as far back or as early as the early 1900s.
Yeah.
These things were getting reported up there and they were shutting schools down. Like the municipalities were actually making decisions based on these creatures that supposedly be a big manhunt. You know, nothing was ever turned up. It was basically just some... You know, a couple of hoaxes here and there, and they didn't ever find the Jersey Devil. But that's the effect it can have on society in small ways. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you definitely hear more about societal effects from Bigfoot or the Jersey Devil than you do about dragons and gods and stuff.
Yeah, it's a little closer to home, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if we're really talking about societal effects, though. I definitely think one that is often neglected, though, you know, even though it has, you know, as many documentaries about it is Bigfoot or the Jersey Devil. Mothman, only because Mothman's the one where they're like,
I had a Mothman shirt. Did you steal it? I can't find it.
I don't have it anywhere. I had a Mothman shirt.
I'm pretty sure I didn't steal a Mothman shirt. But people are always like, what do you see before you see, you know, Mothman and catastrophe strikes? They always associate that with like the Men in Black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, so Mothman is the cryptid government conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. It had that whole origin of the, it was like an ammunition. Was it an ammunition manufacturing place or it was a
TNT bunker?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And some bunch of, I mean, classic horror movie stuff too. Is where some of these come from. I mean, a bunch of teenagers out there at this abandoned military site making out and stuff, and all of a sudden they get scared off by something, and they claim this large being with bat-like wings or moth-like wings and big glowing red eyes chases them away.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing starts. And then, of course, you had that bridge collapse there, that famous bridge collapse. Mothman's one of my favorites. I love Mothman. I actually have a friend that made a mascot costume of the Mothman for the official Point Pleasant Mothman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a mascot studio up there in West Virginia, and he made the Mothman for it.
I didn't even know that they'd have an official festival for the Mothman.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they do.
Heck
yeah.
We
need to go.
That is absolutely insane.
I love weird shit like that. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
absolutely.
Definitely got a plan for sometime in the next
Cadden
few
go with
years.
Us. We'll take a road trip.
Our first live episode will be from Point Pleasant.
Yeah, I'll say our first vlog.
Mm-hmm. heck yeah, I'm into it.
So who's what's your favorite cryptid? Like if you had one that you just really think about and that you know, would love to see it be real.
I think I'd have to agree that my favorite might be Mothman because there's such a divided sort of social mythos around him because it's not really agreed upon by everyone as to what Mothman represents. Like you were saying about the bridge collapse, some people thought he caused it and that he's a sort of dark evil entity because he was apparently quote unquote spotted prior to the bridge collapse. And some people thought he was more like a bad omen of things to come, and others thought that he was sort of trying to be there to warn them that the bridge was going to collapse and to get away from it ahead of time. So I think Mothman's just so interesting that he can be seen as like an almost heroic figure of warning people about this bridge, and also, like you said, just a terrible, horrible monster who chases down speeding cars on the highway.
That's a cool take on it that I really haven't ever explored. Mm-hmm. You kind of put a positive spin on it
there
when you talked about him being more heroic. And I've always viewed him as being more of a harbinger of doom and more, a little more sinister, not necessarily that he's causing it, but it's like death is coming and I'm just letting you know kind of thing. So I always looked at it a little more sinister level. What about you, Cole?
I've always looked at the more sinister level as well, because, I mean, that's just the way I've always read the stories, is Mothman shows up and then disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, you look at you know, the illustrations of Mothman, and it's just like dark creature with bright red eyes, and every single form of media you've seen is like, oh no, those bright red eyes spell evil. But no, I really like the take that Mothman's just like, hey, you see me. You know where I'm going to be. Shit's going to go down. Please stop it.
So, well, let me ask this. So, since the sightings of Mothman, how many people have actually died in these disasters that he apparently portended?
Honestly, not sure.
How many people were killed in that bridge collapse? I think most of the people got off the bridge, didn't they?
I know there were a few deaths involved.
Yeah.
I think maybe a dozen across all of the main disaster sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it hasn't been a lot.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that's an interesting take. I really do. That's, you know, if anything, it's a more positive take on a creature or monster. Is that it's not necessarily sinister, but it's more of just a benevolent warning.
That honestly just makes Mothman cooler.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Well, when we go to Point Pleasant for the vlog, we'll put a gold chain on that big statue.
Man, I kind of want to play that out.
Oh, good.
Yes, absolutely. I bet I can talk my friend into letting us try out the Mothman suit. And go visit him absolutely. And get the actual mascot costume and walk around downtown. That would be hilarious.
I really just want to dress up as Mothman now and just go to like a stand-up comedy thing. And just do all of that dark humor that where people were just like, man, that's too soon. Some things
that would be so appropriate.
Yeah, so you got to go and just make everyone absolutely cringe. Like you would have gone like right after like the, you know, death of the queen and Mothman. We'd be making some queen jokes in the British royal family.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say after the fire at Notre Dame, and then he would just have an entire set about the French. And I'm like,
nice. Yeah. Make a series out of it.
That's the ultimate fear of Mothman. It's not.
That's the true doom that he foretells.
You know disaster is coming. It's that you know that he is going to attack it with some cringeworthy comedy afterwards.
I think one of my other favorite cryptids too was that I always wished was real as a kid, and always kind of felt was plausible, sort of, but not really. In my own stupid mind, I thought it was plausible, but it was a Loch Ness monster. I always wanted Nessie to be real. You didn't think of Nessie. I thought of Nessie as more of that fantasy creature that's nice and tame. He's not out there just murdering people like all these, you know, Scottish fishermen are just getting murked out there while they're fishing by this giant dinosaur. Always viewed it as calm and benevolent and friendly, and I wanted Nessie to be real.
I mean, I always wanted the Loch Ness Monster to be real, too, especially because... And this is just kind of a deep dive into randomness of what has made me sympathize with the Loch Ness Monster. But they basically had the Nessie equivalent in an episode of Phineas and Ferb.
Yes, they did.
And it saved Agent P from, like, the underwater doomsday lair of Doofenshmirtz. So again, just like Mothman being kind of the, not the harbinger of the doom, but warning people. It's like, Nessie just wants to be left alone. And anyone who is trapped underwater, they're just going to give them rides back up to the surface.
It's like a Disney movie.
Okay, Nessie.
Me and Nessie.
Nessie is the perfect cryptid for a Disney movie.
Well, they've done it. I mean, well, realistically. All right, we're getting off topic here. Let's get back on the tracks here, folks.
Hey, I think any conversation about Nessie is the correct topic.
No, yeah, I mean, Nessie translates, I think, over ages. You know, you can start Nessie with kids because they've learned about dinosaurs and stuff. They've seen all these movies about dinosaurs are friendly, and, you know, unless you watch Jurassic Park and then T-Rex eats the guy, that might burst some little kid's bubble, but, you know, just animated stuff. And so Nessie is kind of, it's kind of tame. Yeah. You know,
I do.
Bigfoot's kind of the same way. Kind of looks like Chewbacca. You know, anybody that's grown up after 1977, it's kind of equate fucking Bigfoot to Chewbacca.
Yeah, I definitely think that on that note, that the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot kind of are the kid-friendly cryptids.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's maybe that's why I like the Jersey Devil more, though. Jersey Devil's fucking awesome. He's like metal. That's metal. He like had the Jersey Devil on his... jean vest going into an Iron Maiden concert. People are like, oh yeah, Jersey Devil, I've heard of them. That's fucking great.
The picture just kind of like when you associate with like the, when people associate like the devil with just like some evil goat. That's what the Jersey Devil is. It's a two-legged Satan goat with wings.
Yeah, I was apparently cursed by Mother Leeds when she didn't want to be pregnant. And I guess she'd already popped out a bunch of kids and she was like, again? And so she cursed it.
She's lucky,
like,
number 13.
This kid's going to be the devil. And apparently it came out with, you know, like a goat head and bat wings and a, you know, crazy torso and a spiked tail.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. I love that story.
Yeah. So while Bigfoot and Nessie are just kind of the kind, happy children's ones, the Jersey Devil really is the metal cryptid.
Yeah.
See, what that mother needed was a Mothman there to warn her, don't do it. Don't talk about it.
Yes. I'm like, use the colonial form of protection. Don't let this happen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I need to read up more on Japanese cryptids. Cadden, have you ever looked into like the Japanese and Asian cryptids?
Yeah, I like that part of the world. You hear about like a bunch of the roadside maidens that ask traveling men if they think she's pretty or whatever, and if you answer the wrong way, she'll eat you.
Is that the slit face, slit mouth girl?
It's the slit mouth woman.
Yeah.
It's the greatest. It's like my favorite Japanese folktale of the way my professor described it in college was if you see fog just kind of rolling up on you after you're stumbling home drunk from a bar in Japan, start running. Because the fog is kind of the harbinger for a masked woman who just kind of has like a surgical mask on, is the way he described it, and walks up and he's like, am I pretty? You can't say no, because if you say no, she'll, you know, kill you.
Yeah.
If you say yes, then you're also screwed. Because then she'll take off the mask and be like, how about now? And then she'll basically just slit your mouth in the same way that she was. And if that doesn't kill you, then, well, it probably will. So that's the greatest one, just because the only ways to avoid it are by saying, I don't know, or I gotta get somewhere, sorry, bye. And just completely ignoring it.
Solid plan.
But yeah, no, the Japanese cryptids, I don't really know of many.
I'm not super familiar with them. I need to explore some of them a little more. I like seeing the different, almost a different aesthetic between the cultures and the cryptids that we have. I think that's pretty cool. But one cryptid to me that seems to carry across all of the cultures, honestly, is Bigfoot. Some sort of Bigfoot-like creature to me seems to exist in some part of every culture's folklore.
Yeah.
Or at least in a lot of them, but, you know, more than some of the others.
I was going to say, have like the people in the cryptozoology community kind of came to a conclusion on what they think, like the Sasquatch, the Yeti, and like the Skunk Ape? Have they all said that they're kind of one giant species of cryptid, all related?
But why do we have no fossil? Or bones, just even bones that we found. I mean, you can say that, you know, Gigantopithecus was an actual creature, which is a very large hominid. But that was a long time ago, and to think that they would still survive, you'd think there would be some evidence. Somewhere, this day and age, someone would have found some goddamn evidence.
Yeah.
But there's nothing out there that's solid.
Yeah.
I want to believe. Trust me. I do.
Yeah, I definitely think that's kind of the problem, at least with the cryptids, is there's the evidence that you may see, and like people are always arguing whether that's fabricated or not. And I mean, there's nothing solid, but it's kind of that I don't want there to be evidence. I don't want it to be proved by science, but I want to see them all. So that's kind of where I am with evidence for cryptids.
Right, so we've talked a little bit about how at some points we want these things to be real, at some points we want them to be more of a mystery or something more fantastical. What I thought we could do is really dive into what we think about some cryptids that actually could be real and how real we think they might be. So what I have here is a list of some famous cryptids, and what we can do is we can go into the sort of some evidence on them, either with what we know prior or with a little bit of research I've done. Just give a rating of 1 to 5. How real do you, how likely do you think it is that this thing might be real?
Cool. Do it.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, first off, I think we've discussed at some length all but one of these creatures. And the first one I have is, of course, Loch Ness Monster. With Nessie, you know, the whole Loch Ness, it's Nessie herself might be in the top three most popular cryptids. And really, it is almost all based off just the pure tourism of it, because Loch Ness itself is like a 35-kilometer long stretch of water that's incredibly deep for a loch.
Yes.
But to house a creature like that with that kind of diet is what really drives people off the point of believing it from a scientific point of view.
Yeah.
And obviously, when it comes to what evidence has amassed, you got like the surgeon's photograph by Colonel Robert K. Wilson, which was later claimed and confirmed to be faked.
That's the famous one where it's like the head sticking up out of the water real far?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, you got the surgeon's photograph taken in 1939 by Colonel Robert Wilson, but was later claimed and confirmed by Ian Wetherill to have been a fake created by Wetherill and his father and his stepbrother, and then given to Colonel Wilson to be planted as a fake and as a hoax.
Yeah.
That just sucks.
Well, still, though, I mean, we know... So Nessie was kind of based, what most people would agree, Nessie was kind of based on a prehistoric creature called a plesiothaurus. Plesiosaurus. Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Plesiosaurus. They were pretty large, so they would be eating a shitload of fish every day. The lock probably couldn't support that for any length of time, so is it plausible that that creature could exist? Yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, if we're rating it on this 1 to 5 scale, I don't think I can give it a 1 just because...
Or wait a minute. Could it have existed...
Just not in Loch Ness?
No. Even back, at least where in recorded human history.
Okay.
That if maybe even some of the reports about Nessie were real and have been carried down through word of mouth, which is really the way most of history went down.
Yeah.
You know, up until relatively recently on the timeline, could that cryptid have existed at some point and have been recorded by man?
I mean, maybe. How, Cadden, how far back do Loch Ness monster sightings actually go?
It's kind of one of the sightings of Nessie, or like descriptions of creatures akin to Nessie as a sort of either plesiosaur-like creature or like more of a loch serpent creature, really go back like centuries to medieval times with Scottish scholars and priests writing records of creatures like that being spotted in the loch. So really, there is a real history to Nessie.
Yeah, I mean, really, as early human was discovering the world and coming across these different creatures. I mean, when man first set out on the ocean, you know, that had to have been a pretty big deal when they run across these large sea creatures. And we know these large sea creatures did exist. So then all of a sudden you've got these tales when they take this harrowing adventure into the frickin' ocean, you know, going for days and months at a time, and they come back, they're going to have these stories to tell, and people are going to really be interested in this shit. And they're going to be able to spin this yarn about these fantastical creatures that they saw, and it could have just been a big fucking fish. You know, let's be honest, that's all it was back then, right?
Yeah.
But you spin it, and that's where these tales take off, and I think that's just, I don't know, I just love that storytelling aspect of the human being.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool, and it's just fun to think about these kind of stories. I think that's what the allure of cryptids is, really.
Yeah.
It's fun to think about.
That's a really good point. But on kind of the oral history part that was brought up, it's really hard for me, again, to say that 100% plausible is Nessie, but also really hard for me to say there's no way that existed. I definitely think that if it goes back to medieval times, there probably was a point in history where something like Nessie existed, especially if descriptions and kind of what we've turned it into, or, you know, it looks like some form of a dinosaur.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, no doubt about it.
So.
Plesiosaur.
Yeah. So the plesiosaur, I definitely really want Nessie to exist, so I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5.
Oh, is it? Oh, we're rating it?
Yeah, one out of 5 is nowhere near, and 5 out of 5 is, of course, we just can't find it because we suck.
Can I say, grade it on... Maybe it existed during the time of man, or now? Does it exist now? If it exist now, no way. Zero out of 5. No way.
I mean, that's why I gave it the 4, because I do think it has existed, but it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I think if it has existed at some point and man has documented something along those lines, I think that's possible. I mean, what? Earliest cave drawings were how many thousands of years ago? I mean, Göbekli Tepe was like, what, 15,000, they're saying now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 12 and 15,000 is what the Younger Dryas period.
Yeah.
You know, the Great Extinction. Some shit went down.
I would say human history.
The reset.
Definitely like goes reset. Back thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah. You could go really off on a whole nother podcast to Homo just sapiens. About shit like that. Like Lost Cities and the Great Reset and Atlantis. And anyway.
Yeah. But I'm giving Nessie a 4 out of 5.
I want Nessie to be real, but I can't.
Absolutely. I'd agree.
So what are you giving her?
I'll give it a 1 just from hope.
I'd probably give Nessie just, in the modern day, I'd probably give Nessie like a 2 at best. Like maybe there's some descendant of Nessie or what Nessie once was that nowadays just
right.
sleeps at the deep, deep depths of the loch. But to think that there's even enough food for something like that, if we are looking at it scientifically and not fantastically, it's just hard to believe that something that big can exist in such a small scale location.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I just had a great theory. Follow me with this, okay? Follow me. All right. Plesiosauruses, they evolved, right? Over millions of years. They didn't just die off. They evolved like sharks did. Sharks were huge.
Yeah.
They got smaller.
Okay.
If you look at the basic biology and structure of a plesiosaur, paddle, like fins, like 4 of them, mm-hmm. and a tail, mm-hmm. and a long neck. All right, now imagine the plesiosaur over millions of years evolving but shrinking due to the varying food supply.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
On the Earth, right? So they become smaller. Now, if they become smaller, they become more vulnerable to other animals in the ocean. So again, they evolve and they develop a shell. And that the modern day sea turtle is a direct descendant of the goddamn Loch Ness Monster.
Well, I'm sold. That's a 5 out of 5.
You can't argue that logic.
Well, you really can't.
I'm
not a scientist.
That's pretty amazing.
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
If a T-Rex can become a chicken, then Nessie can become a sea turtle.
Yes.
That's why
chickens are mean little fucks. Chickens are evil.
Are evil.
But yeah, they give us delicious butt pods or whatever they are.
Oh, no. But no, this explains why sea turtles are just cool and why people love sea turtles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, that's a plausible evolution of that animal, though, if you think about it.
The collective unconscious of all of society recognizes that sea turtles are just tiny Loch Ness monsters.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Put that on a t-shirt.
It's beautiful.
Well, I think we've come to an agreement that despite our hopes and dreams of Nessie being real, probably on the lower end of possibility, but to transition to possibly an even older belief, if not a real creature, the Bigfoot or the Yeti, as we discussed, is such a widespread belief, and we do have more recent evidence, quote-unquote evidence, of a Yeti or a Bigfoot or a wild man-type creature. But like you were saying earlier, the idea of the wild man is such a widespread idea, and we see it in Himalayan cultures where the Yeti is more seen as a spiritual entity in comparison to the modern-day Western idea of this creature as just a vaguely humanoid, possibly ape creature.
I mean, I really think that going just along, you know, the Western idea of Bigfoot or the Yeti or really any Sasquatch, I think that the connection to, you know, because it walks on two legs, the connection to humans is right. kind of always brought up of,
mm-hmm.
you know, this isn't just some, you know, crazy cryptid that's just special by itself, but
Maybe people had an affinity for it because they viewed it as the missing link.
Yeah.
Right? People always talk about the missing link. Where did we split off on that genealogical tree?
Yeah. And what's to say that, you know, again, if we're talking about just in the history of man in general, I mean, I'm pretty sure that there was an article probably a few months ago of scientists felt like they had found another like fossil
mm-hmm.
of a human, but it wasn't a Homo sapien. It was some other Homo something.
So an actual new species?
Yeah, some like new humanoid species based off of the skull.
Right.
Which, I mean, I haven't seen anything on whether that was confirmed or not, but I definitely think that that is a possibility for Sasquatch and all of those things.
But still being alive? I mean, so I understand if you think about the surface of the Earth, and there's a lot of, you know, population is typically condensed into certain corners of the planet. And there is a lot more open planet than a lot of people think. So is it plausible that somewhere out there on the fringes of where people live, you know, it's like life below zero, these fuckers that live up in Alaska, could there be a creature up there that is living in such an inhospitable environment, maybe, that could still be out there that we haven't seen yet? Like, could society have pushed the Sasquatch out into the edges of, I don't know. Interesting. Going off on a tangent.
I really like that train of thought, because I feel like the Yeti or the Bigfoot is so much more likely compared to so many other cryptids as just, you know, like you were saying, populations are so closely, so tightly bound to each other. And if there is some sort of American species of ape that we just haven't discovered because it has a smaller effect on the environment, I feel like that's not too difficult to believe. It's just if it's just in some inhospitable part of the world.
Right. Like a creature that was close to extinction but came back. Similar to like the Florida Panther, really. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, Florida Panther was all but gone. And now, because of the changing environment and, well, obviously conservation down south, they're coming back. But there's a lot of the planet out there that is still uninhabited, at least by modern humans living their lives, you know, in any kind of meaningful way. There's places that are so inhospitable to the humans. Could creatures exist out there in that type of environment? Or have we explored every inch of this planet to the point that cryptids just can't be real?
There's no way that we've explored every single area. I mean, they're still finding, you know, while it isn't anything as like big as humans or like a gorilla, but they're still finding like microorganisms and things down at like the Marianas Trench. You know, they're finding things that are adapting to those extreme temperatures and extreme pressure conditions.
Yeah.
And I'm like seeing that.
But nothing real big.
Nothing real big. I want
a
goddamn
Pacific Rim kaiju coming out of a crack in the earth. That's what I want to see during my lifetime.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've shown that microorganisms can adapt to these things and be where we want Godzilla to be. But, man.
It's a good story to build on, right?
Yeah, and I mean,
base.
I think that works with the Yeti quite well, too, being up in the pall of extreme altitudes and extreme cold.
Exactly.
I think it's logical that it's just a species that has adapted to the extremes, and we just kind of missed it from an evolutionary standpoint of where it broke away from humans.
Yeah, and if you think about it, in such extreme environments, it would make sense that creatures would have small population and reproduction sizes because of how few resources there are in such environments.
Yeah. But what's crazy is, you know, with the way humans have moved around the globe, right? And we've had these reports of these cryptids, especially with something like a Bigfoot, Yeti, whatever it is, skunk ape, they're always rogues, right? You always see one. Have there ever been any reports of people seeing multiples, like a family? Wasn't there one photograph? I think so. Years ago, I think there was a photograph of a damn, like, Sasquatch family crossing a river.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. I think there was. Do you know what I'm talking about, Cadden?
I remember vaguely what you're talking about.
Holy shit, I gotta look this up. But anyway, that's kind of my point, was if that were even halfway real, it would be the first. And that's why it was so unique. You know, it was always that they were rogues. So could these creatures keep their population so secret that you only ever saw one of them? You know, so you can throw in these little these little, you know, thought experiments to try to disprove it. And that's one of the things I think about sometimes. It's like, to be a rogue creature and keep the rest of your population hidden, because you would need a population to actually survive for as long as these damn things have been reported.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, something to think about.
I was going to say, I found the Sasquatch family picture, which, I mean, it is like all Bigfoot things of grainy photos.
No, that's not the one.
Oh. Well, Arizona says they caught one time.
all of Arizona.
In terms of a picture of a Sasquatch family. But, I mean, it's one of those that it's nothing definitive. It's basically just blotches on like a grainy security cam footage.
Yeah.
Nope. There, here it is, right here.
Oh, I think we found the other one, then. Yep.
This is a video. This is a video that came out, I don't know. It was probably, I don't see a date on it yet. But look, it's a video of a...
Yeah, this definitely is a video that looks like a...
Some sort of hairy cryptid carrying something that it looks like it's holding a baby. I'm trying to see mm-hmm. what the date on this was. Anyway, it wasn't that long ago, because this is fairly clear. But did they disprove this as a hoax? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Because
that's pretty cool for somebody to set up that kind of elaborate hoax. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, if they're carrying something that looks like a small child, like it's that would be something. Amazing.
It's pretty cool.
But either way, going back to ranking the plausibility of Sasquatches and everything else, 5 out of 5.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Sasquatch, probably one of the most plausible ones.
Yeah.
At least because I want it to be.
Again, all because we want it to be.
You know, but because it's kind of humanoid size, it's not like just some, you know, more fantastical beast like the Jersey Devil, even though I think that mm-hmm. would be great. It's a little more closely related to us. I think maybe that's what people, they look at Bigfoot as like, what is that? Like maybe the missing link that everybody has always talked about, and mm-hmm. that bridge between, you know, what do you call it? Not a hominid, but a primate and a human. So, pretty cool. I'm going to give Bigfoot, just because I think I really want, I'll say 4 out of 5.
Okay, nice. I think my mindset on Bigfoot is, I'm going to agree with you. I think it is the most likely cryptid just because of how mundane it could be. If you look past like views on the Yeti as a spiritual creature, I think it's like in the original language it's pronounced like Yete or something like that. Ask our audience to forgive me if I mispronounce that. But it's, if we look past it as a fantastical creature, it's really just a large ape. And if tomorrow some group of scientists or researchers came to the public and said, we have found this piece of evidence for a ape-like creature, an ape-like species in the Americas, I think the one thing they can't do in order to maintain sort of integrity or get people to take them seriously, the one thing they can't do is say, we found Bigfoot.
Right, right. There's a lack of physical evidence.
Yeah.
So what...
The one... Like, they just have to go at it like, we have found a species of ape in the Americas. P.S. It might be Bigfoot, but we have physical evidence of it. Here it is.
Now, let me throw this out there. Do you know where I'm going, Cole?
No, I have no idea where you're going. I'm kind of scared now. So...
What if Bigfoot were a species that were so intelligent that it actually buried their dead? And if it had...
I've heard that. I've heard that before, and I'm like, sure, maybe.
Right?
Go on.
No, that's just what I'm thinking. And if over a period of time of burying your dead, you're going to figure out where the best place is to bury your dead. You're going to bury your mm-hmm. dead in a place that doesn't get washed out by rainwater and floods and different things like that. You can bury them on high ground, most likely. How intelligent is Bigfoot? Could they be so reclusive, yet so intelligent, that that's how they maintain their reclusivity?
Saying that, you know, Sasquatches are just better at burying their dead sounds so absurd, but also I can't really argue against that. I mean, again, we don't really have any proof to the Sasquatch's intelligence.
Yes.
And I'm like, we've kind of proven that, you know,
he's intelligent enough to avoid cameras and like really high quality footage. So
yeah, and I mean, like, we've proven that like chimpanzees are basically already in the Stone Age.
Yeah, they're learning to use tools
for themselves, and I'm like, all right, so they're kind of mimicking humans. How do we know that the Sasquatch hasn't, you know, mimicked us before and just been a lot farther ahead than
mimicked us
chimpanzees,
like, shaved and gone to the grocery store?
Look.
And, like, we have evidence that, for instance, elephants can be seen mourning their dead. Yeah. So is it, like, is it much further to go to say that there's a creature that has some sort of specific ritual for their dead?
Right.
That's crazy.
I don't know. But I think I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give Bigfoot / Yeti / Wild Man, I'm going to give it out of 4 out of 5. I think it's nice. It's a definite possibility that something mundane like that exists.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I definitely
high scores from all of us. I love it.
Very high scores for this one. Mm-hmm. My honest greatest hope is that we one day get a Sasquatch player in the NBA based on their height. Or as the point of, do they know how to shave? If Shaq is secretly a Sasquatch,
that would be awesome.
Then this would be the greatest thing to ever come out of sports. Not any game itself, figuring out that cryptids have invaded our national pastimes.
He's so rich that he has like special people come in and make sure that his Sasquatch hair is like lasered off of every inch of his body to hide his secret.
It's amazing.
Oh, but right. if there were a whole species of Sasquatch out there, and like a society of Sasquatches, and they all had the personality of Shaq. Damn, come on out of the closet, guys. This is fun.
We'd be very welcoming.
I would love it. They'd be very welcoming. We'd love them. But all right, so what's the next cryptid?
Well, moving on from two of possibly the oldest cryptids, we have two of the sort of more recent cryptids, and one we should talk about first is one we've discussed already, and that being Mothman. Mothman, a fairly recent cryptid. You have the 1966 sighting, quote-unquote sighting, where a group of West Virginian gravediggers claimed to have seen a massive humanoid figure with wings gliding through the air, remaining visible for about a minute. And then you have, of course, the collapse of the Silver Bridge in December 15th, 1967, where multiple people reported to have seen Mothman. And there are also the explanations of Mothman as just a creature mutated or physically altered by leakage from the TNT plant, like you mentioned, the TNT plant and the nearby factory, sort of that runoff mutating creature like a crane with the sort of red patches over the eye, or perhaps a large owl with the sort of red pigment to the eyes. What do we think about the reality of Mothman?
Still, what is the plausibility of Mothman existing?
Okay, so before we go there, I know we said the Jersey Devil is metal. Mothman's pretty fucking metal, too.
Pretty metal.
Think about it. He was born in, like, an ammunition plant. Like, he was born of explosives.
Yes.
And goes on to be a harbinger of doom.
Got bright red eyes.
That's metal.
That's
pretty fucking metal.
That is cool.
No, but seriously, the plausibility of Mothman existing is to me, is low. I mean, come on, there's not going to be some giant, you know, the sandhill crane that they've always attributed that to. Yeah, that's a big bird. And if you saw that flying through the air, you might think it was something strange. And if this folklore has gone around your town for any length of time, when did you say the first report was? I mean, it was post-World War II, so we're talking like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how an urban legend starts. And if you have this type of bird up there, maybe glowing red eyes. Come on, that could have been made up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could have been somebody shining, you know, it was kids making out in a car. They were about to get busy with it. And that's old school. And, you know, who knows? They're making shit up. I think Mothman, 2 out of 5. Not one. Mm-hmm. It's a 1. There's no way. I love Mothman, goddammit. But
honestly, I think that it's really plausible that, like, Mothman exists, but, like, Mothman being a cryptid, I definitely think that's a lot harder to believe, because, I mean...
Somebody with a furry fetish, dress up in a mascot costume.
Man, if Mothman was the first furry, I think I would kind of be traumatized.
That would be hilarious.
But no, I think there's something weird specifically about the Mothman story of that's kind of the one with the human element. Because again, I'm pretty sure that Mothman's the one that also is synonymous with the Men in Black showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, I think that Mothman being a cryptid is the hardest thing to believe, and it's not that there's something like Mothman existing. Again, it could have been something of like
escaped alien.
Government tests gone wrong, you know. If you think like government stealth planes, maybe it's supposed to be like
the
stealth squirrel suit.
Breeding alien with a human. I like that theory. Let's go with that. Let's run it.
Alright, so we just want to say an alien human hybrid maybe. But
yeah.
I definitely think that Mothman being a cryptid is a 1 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
But the existence of Mothman, I mean, again, given just the crazy conspiracies of it seems like government people have always showed up after the disasters.
Wait a minute, 1 out of 5 for plausibility? Or
1 out of 5 for Mothman being a cryptid. I'm going to give him 3 out of 5 for actually existing.
What?
Yeah.
All right. 3 out of 5. Go for it. Cabin?
Yeah, I would say from like a, you know, I'd agree that if we're saying that there is some moth-shaped humanoid in Point Pleasant, then that'd probably be a 1 out of 5. But if we're saying, like you were saying, the earlier sightings come from times following World War II, and it's actually said that the TNT factory was shut down the day we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. And so that's enough time for a lot of runoff and leakage to come out from the TNT plants and to infect the neighboring areas and possibly mutate a crane or an owl into something larger, and a creature that might be very defensive of its territory and thus want to drive off horny teenagers. I think from that perspective, if it is just a larger avian creature, that's not terribly unlikely, but to say it's like moth-shaped is a bit stranger. So for some mundane large avian creature, I'd probably give it like a 3.
I don't know. I gotta shoot a hole in that one.
Nah.
So think about the mutation. For the mutation to take place, even if it were a bird, and you're thinking that the bird's lifespan is maybe 10 years, it would have to mutate in one generation, which I think is probably not as likely. But hey, that's all right. You keep believing, buddy.
I will.
Plus, I kind of associate, you know, waste turning some animal into a thing. I'm like, that animal couldn't have turned into flying man thing.
Well, it was already a flying animal, though. That's not what he's saying.
That's
just
true.
A mutation of like a sandhill crane as well.
Yeah,
that's true.
What I was saying, but my argument was that for it to happen in one generation may not be as plausible as over time, evolutionary change. But hey, who knows? That's where the fantasy comes in. That's where the shit that we like to think of. That's what makes good movies and good
stories.
That's
true.
Yeah,
but you know, that's why this is interesting to us.
Yeah, I kind of think my argument just kind of against this. I think that waste definitely would have like Cronenberged the shit out of whatever animal it touched, so we got something that looked like super weird, like from The Fly or something like that.
Well, it could be. No one's ever gotten a picture of it.
True. I mean, yeah, that is true. We could have just not seen it up close, and it's some like ugly monstrosity. And
yeah,
it doesn't actually just look like a gigantic moth,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I like Mothman. I wish, but no, low plausibility for me. What did I say? 1 out of 5.
You said 1. Right. Yeah.
What's next? What's next on your list?
Well, the last thing I've got for us today is what looks to be our most recent example of a cryptid, or at least a popular cryptid, and that being the Chupacabra, or El Chupacabra.
How did we miss the Chupacabra?
I love the Chupacabra. I almost bought a hat with a Chupacabra on it.
but it was, I have a big melon head, so I couldn't find one that fit my head.
Where did you try to get this Chupacabra hat?
I won't plug the company because we're not getting sponsored by them, but if they, you know, really want to,
if there's a company out there that makes Chupacabra hats, yeah, please sponsor us. If
anyway, just search online for Chupacabra
hats. I was going to say, if any cryptozoology sponsorships want to show up, please.
Chupacabra, the yeah, love Chupacabra.
Oh, God. We would take that money in a heartbeat.
I think Chupacabra, to me, probably one of the most plausible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's, if you've ever seen a coyote with mane.
Yes.
It looks pretty terrifying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they call, I mean, Chupacabra, what does that mean? Goat sucker?
Yeah.
Or something goat like sucker, that? Yes.
Goat sucker in Spanish.
So to think you've got a mange-ridden, starving coyote that's out there eating your herd of goats,
mm-hmm.
yeah, pretty plausible to me.
Yeah.
To me, that seems like one of the most plausible.
Yeah, I mean, it. Honestly, I'm not sure what evidence there is for the Chupacabra. I'm not really sure if anyone's actually gone down to Mexico and searched for it.
There's been people that have claimed that they had
mm-hmm.
the bodies or the remains or the, you know. It's always looked like a mange-ridden coyote, though. It's never looked. They'll try to say, well, the jawbone's shaped differently or the teeth aren't aligned
mm-hmm.
in such a way or the snout's too long or something weird like that. But again, we know there can be anomalies in any species of creature. But if you look at it, it looks like a mange-ridden dog, some sort of canine creature.
Yeah.
So that's why I think this is probably one of the more plausible ones,
mm-hmm.
one of the more closely tied to recent history.
I could see that. So I guess the question is it actually a cryptid, or is the Chupacabra just kind of like some genetic anomaly in coyotes that only shows up in like a very small percentage of the population?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you bring up coyotes with mange, because sort of further north from the original sightings, that's pretty much what it was. There was an outbreak of attack on farm life. And it was soon discovered or essentially blamed on wild dogs and coyotes with mange that attacked this livestock. But that's not actually the first sighting or depiction of a chupacabra. The first reported presence of a chupacabra actually comes from Puerto Rico in the town of Canovanas in 1995. And like you were saying, sort of further north and later on, Chupacabra was more seen as this sort of canine creature, hairless and sort of darker complexion. But in Puerto Rico in 95, it was more described as a sort of humanoid figure, sometimes with bat-like wings and frills along its back, sort of more alien-esque.
That's interesting. I have not heard that one before. That's not the Chupacabra that comes to my mind when mm-hmm. I think about it.
So it went from weird alien to
right. That sounds more some like the Jersey form of Devil.
A dog?
Well, it sounds to me more like the Jersey Devil, like Puerto Rico's own version.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like the Jersey Devil.
But think,
that connection's interesting, because there have been reported sightings of Chupacabra as far north as Maine, United States.
They see Chupacabras as far north as Maine?
As Maine.
Wait. Let's go back to Puerto Rico real quick.
No, this thing should have to be the Jersey Devil.
Look at the logo. Look at the logo of a Bacardi rum bottle. Right? Puerto Rico, rum. Bacardi rum logo. Now, is that a bat?
Or
could it be a Puerto Rican Chupacabra?
Man, if Bacardi has just been running the longest con, just in terms of secretly knowing that the Chupacabra exists.
Genius.
I gotta applaud them for it.
Well done. Well done, Bacardi.
Yeah, so Chupacabra for me. I don't know about that explanation, Cadden. That one's a little out there for me. It's not the Chupacabra that I know and love.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that's in my head, I think, is 5 out of 5 plausible.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think that the Chupacabra definitely is something that looks like a dog, but I definitely think the possibility of people getting it confused with a coyote or a dog exists, and that they just look so close that you know, no one's really taken the chance to actually try and differentiate at that close of a distance. Or I'm also going to give it a 5 out of 5.
That's interesting. What brings me back to the Chupacabra is because it is so recent that records of it are very easy to find, it takes me back to what you were saying about how cryptids have a real societal effect. Like, back when these things were first being cited and claimed to exist, schools were shut down and kids had to be, like, transported and protected from school to home because of these sightings. And there was even some politician that was rerunning for office and had, for some reason, took the initiative to garner the favor of the people by taking a goat and a crucifix and hunting down chupacabras with a party of chupacabra hunters.
That's pretty metal.
That's pretty great.
It'd be a great name for a band.
Chupacabra hunters. No, they really wouldn't. No, that would actually suck. Sorry.
No.
But yeah, if we're going with the original Puerto Rican version with the bat wings and the frills and the standing on hind legs, probably less likely, but so probably like really a 1 or a 0. But when it comes to the canine mange-ridden coyotes, I mean, that's pretty much just confirmed that
right?
That's what it was.
Yeah. Hey, I applaud Puerto Rico for coming up with their own cryptid, but don't call it a chupacabra. Call it something else.
God, what would we call a weird bat alien, though?
Bruce.
Okay, I kind of want to figure out the name for this thing.
I don't care. Let the Puerto Ricans make up the name for the native Puerto Ricans. Let them make up the name for their own cryptid. That's the point. Just don't call it chupacabra, because correct me if I'm wrong, Gadden, didn't chupacabra originate in Mexico or South America?
No, the Puerto Rican version is the original.
It didn't? The Puerto Rican version is the original. Well, goddamn, I'm wrong. I will admit when I'm wrong. I thought it was like more of a Mexican cryptid, South America kind of thing. So
Mexico just stole their shit.
My bad. And I admit it. I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong.
So Mexico just stole their shit and has profited off of all of the media.
Have they? Or am I just a dumbass?
I don't know if Mexico stole it.
Could be both.
I know that the Mexican Chupacabra version has been the one that has garnered profits. Because, I mean...
Do you? Do you really, though?
Look as far back as around 2003. I'm sorry. The Scooby-Doo show had a Chupacabra movie.
Heck yes, they did.
Where it was like Scooby-Doo versus the Chupacabra.
Really?
Yes, and it was set in Mexico, not Puerto Rico.
It looks nothing like any Chupacabra that's ever been before.
Okay, but it was in a Scooby-Doo thing, so you have to take their version of cryptids as canon.
Absolutely.
Even if it's like a tertiary canon.
Wait a minute. All right, hold on a minute. God damn it. All right, Chupacabra, are we talking this just originated in 1995?
Correct.
Yeah. Hold on, though. Why?
It seems so much older.
Yeah, but why does the drawing on Wikipedia of the Chupacabra just kind of look like...
It's like a lizard person.
It looks like Abe Sapien from Hellboy, but like with fangs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, this is maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something else, but 95, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was older than that.
As did I, yeah, but they're fairly recent.
That is insane. That is just, man, I can't believe that chupacabras are almost as old as I am. That is insane.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of an urban legend that caught on pretty quickly. It's kind of neat to see an urban legend evolve within your lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
95, hell, I was married in 95. That is weird. Okay. Chupacabras, my current favorite cryptid.
Nice.
All right. So, you got any left for us, Gadden?
Well, gentlemen, we have come to the end of my list of cryptids. And with this conversation of how real cryptids are, do you have any opinions on exactly why these myths spread or why they might be concealed even? If we do go back to the idea of the Men in Black concealing this idea of the Mothman or the government even vocalizing and believing in chupacabras to garner public favor, what makes cryptids so alluring of cultural consciousness?
I mean, to me, it's the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always the things out there that we can't explain. So we like to personify it, I guess, in a way. You know, just make it something that, I don't know, it's hard to explain, really. Just makes us feel a little outside of our normal lives.
Right.
Like, we wish this was cool. We wish this was real.
Mm-hmm.
The imagination come to life.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to kind of put it, because I definitely think that the allure of cryptids and, you know, why governments may endorse them existing is, I definitely think that you could say that many people have like a fear of the unknown, but when it comes to the fear of the unknown, it's really divided between what is the unknown in the fantastical sense and
mm-hmm.
what is unknown in something that you believe is entirely realistic.
Yeah.
In the world. And I think that people are more afraid of really the realistic unknown. Yeah. And the, like, when you think of things that you can't really comprehend, and like, because you just haven't seen the experience,
or
you're not really afraid of it. You just want to know it's there first.
Yeah. I'd agree.
All right, think about it. Oh, wait, hold on. Yes. Bear with me for just a second. I know we're taking this long, but think about if that sort of belief was baked into your DNA, that fear of the unknown was fear of creatures, mm-hmm. right? Think about it with early man, right? They're out there, they're hunter-gatherers or whatnot. At some point, they are encountering creatures different than themselves. I mean, there's cave paintings of this shit, right?
Yeah.
So what if that's where it comes from? What if there's a part of our imagination that we draw from that's baked into our DNA? And it's because of our ancestral encounter with creatures that we could not explain.
I mean, I really think that fits with a lot of the theories that we had on cryptids, is
right.
things that we couldn't explain back then is how we got the legends. But I mean, we came up with theories of, you know, Nessie could have just been very, very old ancestor of sea turtles. Sasquatches could have been somehow related to humans.
Yeah.
Chupacabras, maybe coyotes. I mean, that really is a good way to put it. What if cryptids really just are hyperboles of things that we know mm-hmm. now, but that were completely unexplainable to you know, yeah, ancestors and the first humans.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right. The idea of telling stories of what goes bump in the night goes all the way back to the times of writing cave paintings by firelight. And back then, it was more of an idea of giving a reason for people to stay in at night, stay away from the dark. But now it's almost treated as a limitation we want to overcome, because we want to see what is in the dark.
Good point. Absolutely. I think that's part of the allure for some of us.
Yeah, it's really finding out everything that lurks in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this just makes me love cryptids so much more. festival year.
It's hoping that there's something out there in the unknown.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you something to look forward mm-hmm. to, right? There's something out there. There's something out there that I haven't seen, that I haven't witnessed. You know, it's just something besides what we have here. And I think that's gonna lure to people.
Yeah.
Mystery.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, I definitely feel like the mystery is cryptozoology, and searching for these things is basically just a treasure hunt for the mm-hmm. living, instead of, you know, gold or silver or anything. And again, I do think that's just as alluring as really any other kind of search.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty solid, hopeful note to end on.
Agreed.
So for anybody in the comments, anybody in the audience in the comments or wherever else, if there are any cryptids you believe in, any evidence that you have to support your beliefs, sound off and let us know. We'd love to hear more evidence and be given more of a reason to believe.
And on that note of belief, give us more reasons to believe in cryptids, but save on a note for later. Why don't you give us reasons to question some existences? Yeah. Like birds. Are we really sure about birds?
Are we?
I think they're government drones with cameras. They're like tracking every aspect of our lives. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for Had coming. Fun.
Yep. Glad you could make it. This has been a very fun episode.
Yeah. Cole, if you'd like to sign us off.
So, I've been Cole Browning.
I've been Kata MacArthur.
You've just listened to this podcast. Prepare to go out and be unquestionably nerdy.